29. Emergency. Howard, April 2190, Vulcan.
Emergency at landing.
I turned briefly to look at Guppy, but good news or bad, Guppy looked like Admiral Ackbar, no help there. I turned back to my video call with Dr. Sheehy and said, "Gotta go," and disconnected. I picked up the video connection that Guppy was holding for me. It was Stefan.
Howard, we've got a group of raptors that somehow got through the fence. They're running through town looking for prey.
Last known location? Stefan gave me a cross street. I knew that security would be converging on the location, but the raptors could move fast, much faster than a human. I had only two busters close enough to be useful, but I had all the drones that were part of the automated surveillance system. As well, several backup units were parked on top of the administration building, sitting in their cradles. I activated the backups and sent all units to the reported location. Halfway there, the two busters blew past the flock of drones, doing close to Mach 1. I was now juggling 18 separate units. Even with most of them slaved to a primary, it was hard to keep track. I dismissed my VR and frame-jacked up high enough so that I could multitask. The busters were coming up on the reported location, but I couldn't see any raptors. I split off a couple of drones and sent them up to a kilometer altitude, activating high-res, infrared, and motion detection sensors. Security personnel were approaching from several directions. There were only two streets that the raptors could be on, and there was no sign of them. Could Brogier have been wrong? A quick check of the video surveillance streams eliminated that possibility. Either raptors could become invisible, wouldn't that be a kicker, or they'd found somewhere to hide. I brought all the drones down to a few feet above ground and started a search pattern for raptor prints. The drones took off in different directions, following anything that was even remotely print-like. Shivvying all these units was really wearing on me, even in frame-jack. I had to keep track of what orders each unit was following. So I guess I don't feel too bad that it took me a couple of missed cycles before I realized one of the units wasn't responding. I pulled up the video log for that unit and... wow, that's what the inside of a raptor mouth looks like. Good to know. The raptor pack had gone to ground inside someone's storage shed. I guess one of them decided he should take out the flying thing before it raised the alarm. Even acknowledging that they couldn't know about radio, that was intelligent behavior. Bill and I would be discussing this one. Meanwhile, I sent all units to surround the shed, dropped my frame rate to real time, and called Stefan. The drones and busters arrived and took up positions around the shed, and the moment they did that, the raptors made a break for freedom. They dodged through the circle of drones, leaped a fence, and made a beeline for the perimeter. It would be a coin toss whether any of the security people could get into position to take them out, and at the speed the raptors were moving, there wouldn't be much opportunity. Hopefully civilians would have heard the alert and had enough sense to stay indoors. Stefan, have they killed anyone?
Not to my knowledge, but we'll be checking out this house. No, never mind. I see some faces looking out the window. Someone just gave me a thumbs up, so no casualties.
Okay, they're out of range of you guys now. I don't have enough space to get my busters up to speed anyway, so I'm going to let them go. Maybe they'll spread the word.
Tabernacle, you think they can talk?
Probably not, but maybe they can teach caution through their behavior. Oh, and guess what? Seems raptors can dig, too. Wonderful. I looked down at the hole through which the raptors were wriggling. It must have been 7 or 8 feet deep at the low point. Looked like we would be upgrading the fences. Again.
Things just get more and more complicated.
Colonel Butterworth had his head propped up in one hand, elbow in his desk.
Cranston and Volta are starting to look like the smart ones.
The colonel didn't expect an answer. I think he just needed a drinking buddy. I had a cognac from Sam's template. I was really getting used to the taste, and I just nodded. Truthfully, the raptor invasion hadn't resulted in any fatalities, and we were already starting on getting the fences fixed. Metal rods driven down 20 feet, spaced 6 inches apart, would take care of the digging issue. And Bridget, Dr. Sheehy, that is, had a device almost perfected that could detect parasite infection through body odor. No blood tests required, just wave your hand over it as you go by. Those would be installed in all building entrances as soon as she had all the bugs out. Longer term, we hope to thin the parasites out to the point of eventual extinction. Meanwhile, she'd come up with a name for the thing, Cupid Bug, because, as she explained, it went for the heart. I had to admit I appreciated Bridget's sense of humor. I also had several small batches aging of something that might turn out to be a replacement for Jameson. Or for paint thinner. Time would tell. The Colonel and I discussed a few miscellaneous items, but nothing really pressing. The Council, as expected, had caved without a fight on the subject of Bronto burgers. Let's face it, one of the damn things would keep the entire colony in stakes for a couple of weeks. We wouldn't need to kill many. And the alternative was still kudzu. I said goodbye to the Colonel and popped out. On a whim, I activated one of the surveillance drones. I took it up a couple of kilometers and did a slow pan. The sun was going down in the west, and it was a magnificent sight. From the surface of Vulcan, Omicron Squared Eridani appeared almost a third bigger than Earth's sun. As a K-type star, it had a slightly more orange cast, although you stopped noticing it after a day or so. But the additional output in the red end of the spectrum meant that even the most run-of-the-mill sunsets were spectacular by Earth standards. And today wasn't run-of-the-mill. Scattered clouds were all that were left of the recent thunderstorms, but those clouds glowed in the sky like individual wildfires. The forest-slash-jungle stretched horizon to horizon, hugging the hills and only reluctantly leaving the occasional rocky crag uncovered. Something like birds swooped and twirled in flocks that wouldn't have been seen on Earth since the days of the passenger pigeon. If you could ignore all the things with big shark teeth and the other things that could accidentally squish you between their toes, it was a kind of paradise. Oh, yeah, and the things that laid eggs in you. Ew!